Kof Gimel Kislev, Tuesday the 30th of November, Rabbi Daniel Lehman. Why the donut?
When I agreed to speak and start your day the Torah way this morning, I was speaking on from the other side of the telephone. I was in Eretz Yisrael. If I would have known the weather would be like this today, it might have been different. But all of you who came and looked out your window this morning and you saw it was snowing, and you came, but Mesiras Nefesh, Goyses Koyach to you. Minhag Yisrael Torah. Not only is it the halacha Torah, also every minhag we have is Torah. We can learn something from every minhag. On Hanukkah we have a minhag to eat latkes and donuts. Why? The reason given is because these foods have been cooked in oil. They absorb the oil. And every time we eat these foods, we remember oil, so we remember the miracle of the one jar of oil lasting for 8 days. Now, of course, we can fulfill this with our Chanukiah. There's no greater reminder of oil burning and making a flame than looking at our Chanukiah. Which leads to the question, why exactly do we need to have this extra reminder of our donuts, my latke? In contrast, on Pesach, we remember the splitting of the sea. But no one suggests that you have to drink a cup of water at the same time. No one suggests you have to take a bowl of water and push it to the side to try and make a splitting in the sea, or eat boiled foods boiled in water. No such suggestion. So why do we do this on Chanukah? Furthermore, we see there's a question who's asked in Shailas and Tshuvas. What's the difference between Purim and Chanukah? Purim is a time where we have a festive Suda. On Chanukah there's no festive Suda. Why should that be? Both events, we're recalling the miracles that happened. So why do we have a Suda on Purim and not Chanukah? No. Classic answer given is that on Purim there was a physical danger. So since we were primarily a physical danger, since we were safe physically, we celebrate in a physical way. Whereas on Chanukah, which is more of a spiritual time, we were in danger spiritually primarily. So therefore, since we were saved, we celebrate in a spiritual manner. So there we are, sitting around our Chanukiah, eating donuts, and like celebrating spiritually by eating donuts. Seems a little bit strange. The Gemara Megillah, Daf Tesvav, says that Esther said the following verse, Lam Natzeach al Ayelis HaShachar. And the Gemara Yuma, Daf Chavtes, Amad Aleph, tells us, Amar Rabbi Asi, Lama Nimshala Esther LeShachar. Why is Esther compared to morning, daytime? La'agid Lecha, to come and tell you, Mas Shachar Soif Kol HaLayla, just like the daytime is the end of all the night, of Esther Soif Kol HaNisim. So too, Esther, the times of Esther, marks the end of all of the miracles. And the obvious question on this, the Gemara asked itself, is, what do you mean, Esther? What do you mean, Purim is the end of all the miracles? We know that Chanukah came after Purim. So of course, there are miracles after Purim. What happened to Chanukah? Now the Gemara answers, it gives a few answers. One of the answers is that, no, when we said the end of all the miracles, we didn't mean all the miracles ever. We meant all the miracles which were written down. Referring to, on Purim we read from Megillah, on Chanukah we don't read from Megillah. So why did the Gemara not just say this? It's the end of all the miracles are written down. Why did it have to say it's the end of all the miracles? It sounds like that's the end of all the miracles. Why does it have to tell us, no, what about Chanukah, and what about, really means all of the ones that have been written? Why didn't just say that at the beginning? And furthermore, what is the difference if something's been written or not? Who cares? If there's a miracle, there's a miracle. If it's been written, what difference should that make to us? Yeah, and what's the difference? But why is Chanukah not written? Why don't we have Megillah on Chanukah? Now, it's not because there's nothing suitable to read. There's Megillah Santiochus, there's Maaseh Yehudah, there's various different things we could have read as a Megillah. We could have, even if not as a Megillah, we could have read something. But we don't find that we read any special Megillah on Chanukah. Why is that? Another question we can ask on this Chazal is asked by the Marsha. We said, just like daytime is the end of night, so too Esther is all of the end of all of the miracles. So Esther is like night, miracles are like dark. The Marsha asks, what do you mean miracles are like dark, nighttime? A miracle is something, it should be like light, it sheds light on a situation. Let me just expand on this a minute. A miracle is a nace, a nace. A nace also means a banner, a signpost. It shows us the way, sheds light onto a situation, shows us which way we should face, which way we should turn. And the Gemara asks, why is Har Sinai called Har Sinai? And one of the answers proposed in the Gemara is is that it's because of all the nisim that happened there. The nisim. And which nisim happened at Har Sinai? Which is, of course, there were other minor miracles there, but Har Sinai is the place where the Torah was given. What's the next? The next is the Torah. Torah is oraisa, deraisa, it's or. The Torah is light. The light is, a miracle is a light. And this is how the Gemara rejects this in the end, but only for a technical reason, because if that was the reason, it should have been called Nisai instead of Sinai. But the idea is there, that the Torah is light and the miracle is light. And this we learn, interestingly, from the Gemara in Shabbos Daf Peites. And of course, Peites is the Gematria Chanukah. It's coming to teach us, to hint to us maybe, that Chanukah is of course the miracle of, it's the time of miracles, and it's the festival of the lights. It's coming to tell us this idea. Peites is the Gematria of Chanukah. There are two time periods in Jewish history that there was a change. The Gemara tells us. What was the change? Before the second Beis HaMikdash, we're told that the Shechina was present. The Gemara in Yuma, Chaf Aleph Amud Beis, tells us that the Shechina was present. What does it mean, the Shechina was present? So the Gemara, the Mishnayos and Pirkei Avos, and the Gemara in Yuma in a few places tells us that there were miracles, there were open miracles. The Shechina was present, it was felt, Hashem was felt. And that was right up until, that was before the second Beis HaMikdash. In other words, that was before Purim. Okay, that was before Purim. The second time period was the second Beis HaMikdash, which is from Purim, essentially, where the Shechina wasn't present, we're told. And that was the turning point. The turning point was Esther. Esther to Hester. Time when HaKadosh Baruch Hu's hand is now within nature. It's not felt on such an open level. Now when we speak about the Shechina being present, we have to understand that the Mefarshim explain, or Rishonim even explain, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is of course here everywhere. He's here by the Kotel HaMaravi. He's here in Star Yedei Torahway. He's here in Golders Green Street. Everywhere. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of course, is everywhere. Just that the word Shechina, it means Hashem's dwelling place. It's not really that He only dwells in certain places, not others. It's how we relate to our Kodesh Baruch Hu being in this world. In certain places, there's a greater concentration, if you like. That's how the Rishonim explain this. But these two periods of time, the time where there was Shechina and there wasn't the Shechina, parallel two different types of miracles. As we know, there's two types of miracles. The first type of miracle is the open miracle, where something happens and it's obvious that Hashem caused something to happen. It's an open miracle. The second type of miracle is a hidden miracle, where it happens within the laws of nature. An onlooker could suggest it's a miracle, an onlooker could suggest this is just nature taking its course. And these two time periods of Jewish history parallel these two types of miracle. The time when the Shechina was here was open miracles. There was open miracles in the Beis HaMikdash. But the time when the Shechina left, then all those miracles were diminished or removed. Now, going back to our mashal, we said that a miracle is a light. A miracle is light. Now, in order for us to recognize a miracle, i.e., if there's an open miracle, the only way we're going to recognize that light of the miracle is if it's on a background that doesn't blend in with the light. So, in order to recognize that a miracle has taken place, for us to recognize that open miracle, it has to be on a dark background. Like we light a Hanukkah, we light night time, we light a candle in the dark, so you can see the candle. As opposed to the time period of the hidden miracles, a miracle is of course still a light, but in order not to be able to recognize that light, for it to be hidden within the surroundings also have to be a light background. And those are our two time periods in accordance with that mashal of Chazal that we mentioned earlier. Today, in our time period, of course, we're living in a time where Hashem's hand is hidden within the working mechanisms of this world. We don't notice any open miracles. Hashem is not splitting the sea for us today. But he exists here just as powerfully within the laws of nature. So if we want to bring out a miracle that happened during this time period, if we want to emphasize a miracle and make it recognizable, then we have to advertise it. That's a Chanukah, we're mafasem than this. We have to advertise a miracle, because otherwise it would be hidden within nature, we wouldn't recognize it. So we make a special point of advertising the Chanukah miracle. The Gemara in Tainis tells us a famous story about Rav Hanina ben Doisa, who saw his daughter was upset on Erev Shabbos. Why was she upset? She made a mistake. Instead of putting oil in the candle holders before she lit the Shabbos candle, she put vinegar in. So she was upset. And her father told her, Rav Hanina ben Doisa said, why are you so upset? Listen, the same person, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who created the reality that oil can burn, he also can make vinegar burn. It's not a problem. Someone who's on Rav Chanina ben Dosi's level, and he recognised that there's no difference really essentially between a miracle and how Hashem works within the laws of nature. The Gemara over there says, what happened as a result of this? She lit the candles, and the candles lit right until Havdalah. Now, why do we need to know this extra factor? It's a tremendous miracle if vinegar can be lit as opposed to oil. That's a miracle. But who cares if it happens to stay burning throughout the whole Rosh Hashanah? What difference does that mean? We find one opinion in Halacha, we find one opinion that says, how long should your Shabbos candles burn? If a person's going to wake up before Alois HaShachar on Shabbos morning, then it's a good thing to do to have them burn till Alois HaShachar. But after that, we don't find such opinion. So what extra hiddah, what extra chumrah is going on over here in Hilchos Shabbos by Rav Chanina ben Dosi? The answer is, we're not learning anything to do with Shabbos over here, we're learning something to do with miracles. That not only did his candles burn at night time, they also burned throughout the day. He was on such a level that he recognised that not only can a candle burn at night, not only can a light, a miracle, burn on a dark background throughout the night, that's recognised and open, but that's exactly the same thing as light burning throughout the day. Light burning on a bright background, a miracle, a hidden miracle within the world is just as powerful, is just as impressive as an open miracle. And this we learn in Tainus, Daf Chafei Amud Alef. Chafei, of course, is Chafei Kislev. It's been Rami's test about Hanukkah, Chafei Kislev. Hanukkah, and that's exactly what Hanukkah is about. Hanukkah is about recognizing that Hashem's hand in nature is still here, and Hashem's hand is a very powerful hand. It's a hand of miracles. As we know, there's a famous question the Beis Yosef asks. Why is Hanukkah? Why do we celebrate Hanukkah for 8 days? Really, Hanukkah should be 7 days. Why? Because mainly we're celebrating the fact that there was a one jar of oil, and that one jar of oil should have lasted only 1 day. Miraculously, it lasted 8 days. But actual miracle, per se, is really only 7 days. Because there was one cup of oil that would have lasted 1 day anyway. Why are we celebrating the extra days? Now the answer should be very pashut. The answer is very pashut. There's 7 days for the miracle, but there's also 1 day, an extra day, that oil burns. Okay, that's also a miracle. Hanukkah is for 8 days. Hanukkah is a time of miracles, but Hanukkah is a perfect time for us to remember, perfect time to enforce within ourselves there's another type of miracle, that hidden miracle, that miracle of nature, is also just as impressive miracle, and we also have to celebrate that. This is in the word Hanukkah. Let's analyze that word Hanukkah. We mentioned before Hanukkah was a gematria of Peites, 89. Hanukkah is 89. Now, if we analyze words, Hebrew words, any words has adjacent words next to it. So you could say that the outer letters of any word are those which are revealed to the adjacent words, and the inner words, inner letters, are the ones that are hidden. In other words, if we were all words and we're looking at everyone else's words, we only see the outer letters. So in the case of Hanukkah, we'd only see the outer letters of Ches and Hey. The inner letters of Hanukkah, Nun, Vav, and Chaf, would be hidden to the other words. What relevance does this have? The outer letters of Hanukkah, Ches and Hey. Ches is 8, Hey is 5. Together they have a gematria of 13. The inner letters of Hanukkah, Nun, Vav, and Chaf, have a gematria of 76. So the inner part of Hanukkah is 76, the outer part is 13. What's the connection we ask ourselves? The inner part is 76, if we take the Mispah Katan, if we add the two individual components, 7 and 6, together we get 13. Hanukkah teaches us that sometimes what we see on an external level, an internal level, what's revealed and what's hidden might not appear the same at first, but ultimately they're all the same thing, they're all one. And 13, of course, is Gematria Echad, coming to teach us that all Echad, all from Hashem Echad. It all depends on how much we believe, how much we exercise our Munah to connect, to recognize the fact, to realize that Hashem's hand in nature is also a very big miracle. We're Ma'aminim, B'nai Ma'aminim, sons of believers. Who are we referring to? The Avois and Imahois. The letters of the Avois, Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, have 13 letters. The Imahois, Sarif, Barach, Avaleya, also have 13. And 13, of course, Rambam has 13 principles of Emunah. So, of course, this number, this idea in Hanukkah, is teaching us to believe that the hand of Hashem in this world is what's in charge of Hashem Echad, is what's in charge of also nature. Now, let's go back to the Chazal again. We said from the Gemara in Yuma, why is Esther compared to morning time, to daytime? Because just like Esther, just like daytime, morning time marks the end of night time, so to Esther is the end of all of the miracles. Now if we think about this analogy, we explained that a miracle is a light, and for there to be an open miracle it must be on a dark background, but a hidden miracle must be on a light background. It seems that the reverse should be true. In the time period in history, time period when we had the Beis HaMikdash and open miracles going on there, it's hard to imagine that we're living in a background, a dark type of background. It's a hard thing to fathom. And it's a hard thing to fathom that in today's time when Hashem's hand is hidden within nature, it's hard to refer to that as being a light background compared to the times when we had a Beis HaMikdash. Should be the other way around. But here we learn something, here we learn a very important idea. That the biggest light of all is the light that we can get to by recognising Hashem's hand in nature. If there's an open miracle, of course everyone's going to believe in an open miracle. The biggest light that we can bring to the world, potentially, is if we can recognise Hashem's hand within nature. The Ramban says at the end of Parshas Boy, tells us what is a miracle. He says there's no such thing as nature. Everything is a miracle. Just that there's hidden miracles and there's revealed miracles. Why do we need a revealed miracle? To come and remind us that even those hidden miracles are also miracles. To remind us that everything that happens in this world is also a miracle. So ultimately, the purpose of even the biggest miracle, splitting the sea, is for us to recognise the Kodesh Baruch Hu in this world. To recognise how he runs this world within the laws of nature. Rav Dessler explains, what's the difference between a miracle and the nature? They're all the same thing, Rav Dessler says. Just that nature is something we become accustomed to. The fact that we breathe, the fact the world was created, we become accustomed to these things. But something we're not accustomed to is splitting of the sea, so we associate that to be a miracle, but really it's one in the same. You know, there's no Hebrew word, there's no word in Lashon HaKodesh for teva. Teva means nature. There's no word in Tanakh for teva. Rather, the word in itself, a teva is a coin. To make a coin is a matbea. To be matbea is to forge a coin. It's something that's man-made. The word teva is something which is man-made. There's no such word. If you were to ask the Tanakh, what's air? What's all these principles that we associate to be nature? I tell you, it's not teva. It's a nes. Everything is a nes. it's always a marvel how the great scientists come up with these theories of evolution and the Big Bang, and they say, yeah, so it happened according to this, and they can bring all different principles and logical explanations and scientific explanations, but who put those two stones there at the beginning to make the Big Bang? Who was the one who created all these things at the first place? They're just missing Echad, they're just missing number one at the beginning. Rav Yehuda HaLevi, Spain, he was a big Talmid Chacham, he was also a poet. And he had an next-door neighbour who was also a poet, and he was a big koifer. He didn't believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world. He was a very intelligent man, but he could not believe that Hashem created the world. So one day, he was working on a poem, the next-door neighbour was working on a poem, and he'd almost finished his poem, but he was lacking the last few lines. He needed some inspiration, so he went for a walk around the fields. Rav Yehuda HaLevi noticed the neighbour leave, and he thought he'd use this opportunity. So he went over to where the neighbour was writing down his poem, and he himself finished off the last few lines of the poem. Anyway, when the neighbour comes back, he picks up his poem, has a look at his poem, says, oh, look at this. So he wants to go share it with his next door neighbour. Says, Rabbi, Rav Yehuda HaLevi, come, look at this. Look at this amazing masterpiece. Look at the end of this poem. He reads in the poem, amazing. Look at this. And you know what? You won't believe what happened. I just turned around and came back, and there it was. Some miracle happened. Something must have happened. So Rav Yehuda HaLevi said to him, nah, it's not a miracle. Yeah, the poem just wrote itself. And he says, what do you mean? A poem wrote itself? What are you thinking of, Rabbi? You're supposed to be intelligent. A poem wrote itself? The Rabbi said, listen to what you're saying. You don't believe a poem can write itself, but you believe that the world can create itself? The famous gematria, Hateva, is the gematria of Elohim. The nature is the gematria of Elohim. Everything in the world, everything that we see around us, is from Elohim, it's from Hashem. Why is it called? Why does it have to be that the gematria is Hateva, the nature? There's only one nature. Normally the letter He is He HaYudio, comes to tell us about something specific, to tell us what to refer to this and not that. So the gematria should be Teva is Elohim. Why is it Hateva is Elohim? Which is the? And the answer is that there are many different ways to look at nature. There's a way to look at nature like the next door neighbour of Rav Yehuda HaLevi. to look at it and say, oh, well, it happened because of this, and start to make all different types of explanations. But then there's hatefa, the way how to look at it properly. And when a person looks at it properly, hatefa, in the right light, when a person looks at nature in the right light, hatefa, then it's hatefa, then that's the nature, then that's Elohim, then I see Elohim. This is what we learn from Hanukkah. We learn from Hanukkah this idea that not only we don't only like 7 days, we like 8 days to come and teach us. And it's not only about the obvious open miracles, it's also about those hidden miracles. Why do we not read the Megillah on Hanukkah? The word Megillah comes from legalot, to come reveal. And every time we read a Megillah, just like any time we read anything from Tanakh, it comes to reveal something to us, it comes to teach something to us, it comes to make us aware of something that we otherwise would not be able to learn. On Hanukkah, we don't need it. On Hanukkah, we don't need to look in a Megillah. We need to look out the window. We need to look out into the world. We need to look out and start to analyse. How did these things get here? How did the tree grow? How did nature come here? We don't need to look into the Tanakh to realise that. We need to look into the world, like Rabbi Chanan says in his first mind in Kovitz Ma'amarin. So that's what Emunah is. A person has to look into the world. A person has to look. And that's how they can get, like Avraham Avinu did, to a very high level, like Avraham Avinu, in terms of Emunah in Hashem. And now we understand the Chazal. Purim is the end of all miracles. Yeah, Purim's the end of all miracles. There's no more miracles after Purim. After Purim, it's called nature. It's also a miracle. But it's actually accurate that the Gemara says it's the end of all the miracles. It's true to say there are other types of miracles after, but those types of miracles, those miracles which are written down, they ended with Purim. Now it's only miracles which have not been written down. Bayamim ha'hem bazman hazeh. Bayamim ha'hem, in the days of those miracles. Bazman hazeh, we still celebrate today. Bazman hazeh, when Hashem's hand is hidden in this world. And like we mentioned from the Ramban, the Ramban at the end of Parshas Bo says that reason why we have all those hidden, the reason why we have the revealed miracles is in order that we recognize that those hidden miracles are all part of Hashem. All part, all the doing of Hashem. Which if we just be misboiling them in that one moment, Kriyas Yamsuf, splitting of the sea, imagine what a tremendous miracle it is. But if we think about it, as Rav Dessler explained, it's no more impressive than the creation of the world. The creation of the world, that which we associated with nature and are so used to, that's much more impressive than the splitting of the sea, which was a brief encounter. Here, the world's been here for thousands of years, all because of that one creation. And the Ramban says, the only reason why we have those open miracles is for us now. So we're living now in the times of much greater light, potentially, than we could have had. Even in the times of the Beis HaMikdash. In the Beis HaMikdash, even if there was someone on a high level of Emunah, very high level of Emunah, they still have these daily open miracles to remind them. We don't have that. What do we have? Bezman Hazeh. Bayamim Ahem, Bezman Hazeh. We have what we have today. But what we have today is much greater. Hanukkah and Purim also. The only festivals today, now that we don't have a Beis HaMikdash, we can fulfill in the best possible way. All the other festivals require Korbanos, require Beis HaMikdash, require going to Eretz Yisrael, Yerushalayim. We can celebrate Hanukkah in the way that it was, in the way that Chazal was stuck in it. We can fulfill it in the best possible way. It could be this is rumors in the Bach, and the Bach says in Tafrei Shain Aleph, says about the mitzvah of Hadlakas Neos Hanukkah, says we light every night, we light the candles every night of the days of Hanukkah, in order to reveal and show the miracle. If we just analyze his lashon, we light every night. Of course we light every night. That's the Pirsume Nissa. We're lighting on a dark background. Of the days of Hanukkah. We light every night of the days of Hanukkah. We're lighting at night. We want to be mafas in the nes. We want people to see it, so we light at night. But we light of the days of Hanukkah. That we must take that message of lighting in the night. The night where it's obvious and it's open. We must take that into even the daytime. The daytime where it's not so obvious. Hanukkah is the darkest time of the year, the shortest days, the coldest time. Snowing also today, just to emphasize the message. It's a time when it's very hard to recognize the Kodesh Baruch in the world. It's a time when things are very dark. But, on the contrary, that's the time that there is potential to reveal the most amounts of light. That's the time where if we can tap in to this message, then it's those same darkest times that will lead to the greatest light afterwards. Like the Chazal said, daytime marks the end of nighttime. We might be in the nighttime, but just around the corner is the daytime. And that's perhaps what the Bachris remembers to. We light every night of the days of Hanukkah. Of course, physically we're lighting at nighttime. But the message of Hanukkah, the inner message of Hanukkah, is that we have to take that into the daytime, into the light background, and recognize those hidden miracles. So, we light a Hanukkah. We light at nighttime. That's very good. We remember the first level of a miracle, an open miracle. We sit around the Hanukkah, and we eat donuts, and we eat latkes. What happens to the spirituality of the festival? That there's no sudas, specifically no sudas on Hanukkah. And here we are, eating a few donuts. Surely we have enough miracles over here. We have enough ways to remember the miracle. Look at the Hanukkah, what more do you need? The Hanukkah has eight prongs, has eight branches. Even on the first night, second night, third night, we didn't light eight candles. But anyone can look at that Hanukkah. It's very obvious why we're lighting eight. We know, and like the Beis Yosef answered, that he has three different answers over there, how we recognize that there was miracles also on the first night. So even if we didn't light all the lights, we know the whole time about the miracles of Hanukkah. Everyone knows about them. But here we are, doing our extra little bit of eating donuts and latkes to try and remember. Just that extra little bit of extra remembering of what we're doing. So now it should be very obvious. The Hanukkah, of course, is a light on a dark background. But how can we really instill that message of the light on a light background? How can we really instill that message within us? Eat a donut. What's a donut and a latke? It's where oil is used within the world of nature. Oil burns. It's used for cooking. If you cook latke and a donut in oil, then that's what we're eating. That's what we eat on Hanukkah. So we eat these things to instill the message, to reinforce that message, which isn't so obvious from the Hanukkah. From the Hanukkah, there's an obvious message of the open miracles, which we thank Hashem from. We thank Hashem for. But by eating the latkes and donuts, we're reinforcing the message. Reinforcing the message of what's hidden. Just like we say in Al-Anisim, when we break down the war, the war, we break it down into five categories. We mention, of course, that we were weak, and that we were outnumbered. All of these things, factors, which would be very impressive if we were to come and succeed in the war, which we did. But we also mention a few other things. We mention that we were pure, we were righteous. What do these things have to do with war? But what defines a good soldier? Whether they're righteous or not, pure or impure, that shouldn't affect what's a good soldier or not. The answer is it's true, it doesn't. But that's not the miracle we're referring to in these aspects. We're referring to this, the miracle of the donut. We're referring to the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu works within the laws of nature. According to the laws of nature, the pure, the righteous, they could win, they might not win. But over here you see that HaKadosh Baruch Hu not only ensured that we win against all odds, he ensured that we win also within the ways of nature. So when we eat our donuts this year, we'll try to remember this message. It's not only about the open miracles. In fact, the open miracles are far lower level. They're only there, like the Ramban said, in order for us to reach the level of accepting and realizing that everything that happens in this world, as small as it is, everything is a miracle from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We should have a tasty Hanukkah.